We'll also include you in our family, serving this church together. And how are you guys this morning? All right. I feel so far away from you guys. I feel like going down to you. But anyways, it's so good to see Cece up here singing with Keith. Because I know when I first pastoring in Calgary, Cece was in grade 11, I think, and she was a little young teenager, and then, of course, during that time, we also started a worship team, and she sang with us, so it's good to see her after a couple of decades, and she's still singing away. I pretty much drive my daughter to figure skating every day, almost every day of the week, except Sundays, and usually there are a lot of moms there waiting for their kids, and you know, occasionally there will be some dads would be, you know, hanging around waiting for their kids. So yesterday, you know, I was talking to one of the parents that happened to be a dad, and we were talking about pretty much everything under the sun, and he's very open to me and share his life's attitude, how much he makes and what he did in the past 10 years and so forth, right? And of course, you know, some of the investment and home in real estate, and something happened and he bought a condo with a leaky roof, and then really, and then and of course the they need to get that fixed, and it set him down behind another $60,000 that really tipped him over. So he had to give it back to the bank and so forth. Now he's renting, and you know, he was complaining how living, you know, in Vancouver, Richmond, it is hard to survive. You know, the high cost of living is just tremendous, right? So. And he was going to say, you know, and here's the last thing he said. Well, not the last thing, but one thing he said after all that. He goes, we are surviving. We are surviving. You know, it just seems like, you know, whether financially in every in different ways, even us, we all, in whether finance or other areas in life, we are in the survival mode. Honestly, other than being in a surviving mode, that's the impression I got when talking to so many people, whether they're going to school. Every stage in life, whether, you know, talking to my son, you know, he's going to high school. Oh, he keep telling me, hey, I hate school. Can I switch school? You know, I keep telling him, you know, if you go to a different school, you know, the grass is not green, it's always greener on the other side. I keep telling him, you know what, there are a lot of people who left Richmond Christian School and then wanted to come back after 6-10 months. So you might fall into that trap. But Dad, there's higher standard at the Christian school than the public school. If you really want me to get good marks, I go to the public school, right? See, that's how he reasons with me. You know what? And he's there. He's go. You know, he's, you know, he get decent marks. Some good time, good. Some time, not so good. Then I get really mad at him. And then, you know, he give me the impression that I'm on surviving mode at school. And then, you know, and same with, you know, different people I talked to about their marriages. Oh, they come to a point, everything becomes numb. You know, they come to a point where, oh, I'm living on the end of my ropes. I can walk away. We're on surviving mode. Maybe in your jobs. You know, I hate it where I drag myself out of the bed trying to get myself to work. And while I'm at work, I'm not happy because my boss and so, you know, it's not, you know, it just, you know, it seems to have the right fit in that place. But hey, I have to be there because that's how I put bread on the table, right? I'm on surviving mode. you know what? Is that all we have in life? It's living in life on a surviving mode? You know, I don't know about Keith, sometimes for myself, you know, being a pastor, I'm on surviving mode too at times. So is that the norm? Is that God's will for us? I was thinking, you know, on surviving mode. You know, if anybody on surviving mode as a Christian, it's dreaded going, you know, on Sunday morning, it's a drag coming to church if you're on surviving mode. I'm not excited. What? You know, I mean, you know, if every part of your life is a surviving mode, I mean, you come to church, surviving mode. I don't have to be here, or, you know, I could just leave any time, really, right? I'm surviving mode. That's why a lot of us are not serving, because we don't feel like serving. And what do you feel like participating? We don't feel like going to Rocky Ridge and go participate in this family church picnic. I don't want to get involved with Awanda. I don't want to get involved with fellowship or whatever. Why? We feel like that? Oh, yeah. Because we're on surviving mode. So the question is this God's will? That we live like this? Is it normal for us Christians to live like this? King David, he was on surviving mode. Let me point, this is one of my favorite psalms I want to share with you this morning. And hopefully we'll learn from King David. And then maybe this morning we'll come away with something else, that we can set our course from surviving mode to something else. Maybe there is another option other than being on surviving mode. You have your Bibles with you, Psalms 143. Beautiful passage, beautiful, beautiful passage. Psalm 143:1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ears to my supplication. Answer me in thy faithfulness and thy righteousness, and do not enter into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead. Verse 4. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy doings. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch out my hands to thee. My soul longs for thee as a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide thy face from me, lest I become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in thee. Teach me in the way which I should walk, for to thee I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in thee. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Let thy good spirit lead me on level ground. For the sake of thy hand, name, O Lord, revive me. In thy righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. For in thy loving kindness, cut off my enemy and destroy all those who afflicted my soul. For I am your servant. The first two verses, King David recognized who God is. When he approached God, hear my prayers, O Lord. Give ears to my supplication. Answer me in thy faithfulness, in thy righteousness, and do not enter into judgment with thy servant, for thy sight no man living is righteous. He comes to God and recognize who God is, that he is righteous, that he is awesome. He's the Almighty God. He is pure God.
And anybody who approaches God and recognizes God this way and gets what's happening, automatically it looks into our lives. And when we look into our lives and we realize how sinful, how guilty, how and how filthy we are as sinners. And that's what happened here. He recognized his sins. He recognized that he is no saint and what he had done. Having slept with Bathsheba and have her husband murdered and so forth and so forth. He is overwhelmed with sin. So he dealt with that. He dealt with that with God. Do not enter into judgment with thy servant, with basically himself. But because under every man under him, there is no righteous. So Lord, don't judge me yet. He's pleading with God. Don't judge me. Because I am no perfect person. David began with his spiritual battle raging inside of him around, and also around him. Coming to God, he goes, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm not perfect. But I have come to a point where I recognize that. So please, Lord, forgive me. Deal with my sins. Take away my shame. Take away my guilt. He's dealing here in this prayer. He's dealing with his guilt, his sadness, and really everything that Satan has already thrown at him. And that's the tone of this passage. His tone is, he's really tired. His tone that gives is, he's frustrated and he's defeated. He is down. He realized, he's recognized that he is really down the bottom of the pit. He goes, Lord, I'm a sinful person. Once he has his guilt and his sinfulness dealt with before God, 3 and 4 brings out his situation. 3 and 4, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places, like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. You know, the spiritual battle he has really affected him, of course. Where he is, basically, in short, David is running away from his son. His son Absalom is out to get him. So he ran to the mountains. He found a cave. He found a cave to hide, basically, from his enemies. And back in those days, people buried their dead in caves. So he recognized himself as like, he has made me dwell in dark places, i.e. the cave, like those who have been long dead. He's hiding in the cave as if, you know, he was dead in the caves back in those days. So here he is, pretty much rock bottom, hiding in this cave from people, from enemies. He can't do anything about his circumstances. He's helpless. He's defeated, frustrated, full of shame, full of guilt, full of sin. And everybody seems to be out to get him. See? At this stage in his life, I really compare him to Job. In the Old Testament, where Satan went, really tested Job, took everything that Job owns away from him. Only his health, his family, everything. Took everything away from him. And of course, I also aligned him with the prodigal son who went to his dad and asked his dad, look, give me all my share. And he went. And as he was gone out in the world, he spent every penny that he has. And then he's in a situation where he's desperate. There's no money. He was living with in a pig pen. His bottom in the pit. Where do these people go? The bottom of the pit, where did these people go? Of course, King David, being the king, couldn't believe that this is happening to him. This is happening to his life. I must say, he's one of the blame to what's going on with his circumstances. Why is everybody out to get him? I guess in some ways, what goes around comes around, right? He is, after all, he's no saint. David felt that he has reached the end of his rope. In that cave, if God doesn't lift him out of the darkness, he is no better off than those who perished in hell. It seems like here, David is on not only surviving mode, but really, I classify him on desperate mode. He's taking this situation one day at a time, hoping that next day would bring a little bit of sunshine to his life. So who'd he go? He can't help himself. He's pretty much numb to what he can do. Who did he go to? He went to his God. I believe God had brought or allowed things to happen in David's life, had brought him to a point where really God wanted him to be at. It's pretty much stripping everything away from him. In some way, it's a blessing in disguise. But obviously, at that time, David can't see that. Right? And a lot of us, you know, the few examples that I shared earlier, whether you're facing financial difficulty, marital difficulty, or schooling, whatever, if you're on surviving mode, you become numb. You can't see beyond what you could see, really. But who do we turn to? And a lot of time we fail to turn to God. Just because we can't see beyond our scope doesn't mean the good things are not there. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that there's no hope beyond that. It's because I feel numb toward my partner, my wife, or my husband. It does not mean there's no hope. It does not mean that just because I don't see it, that's not me. In 10 months or a year from now, I could see that this, I'm glad I didn't let that person go or walk away from that person. And then I realized how much that person really meant to me? Or that boss, or that job, or that friend? God has brought him to a point where he seeks and begs and pleaded for God. In the last 2 months, my wife and I have been really glued on the news about the Malaysian flight. You know, where over 200 people went missing. They can't know where the plane is. You know, in our modern society and technology, I can't believe we can miss a plane like that. But I can't help but to think of the people in that plane. Has the plane, I don't know what situation they were in, they were flying off and then realizing they were off course. What were the people doing? What were the people thinking? And who knows how many people were desperately praying. There's one thing I could tell you. As they pray and pleaded for God, I believe that God was there for them. Verses 5, King David continues, I remember the days of old. I meditate on thy doing. I muse the work of thy hand. I stretch out my hand to thee. My strength, my soul longs for thee as a parched land. He recognized his relationship with God, where he remembers that I worship you, Lord. I worship you and I praise you and I pray to you and I serve you and I have experienced mercy and your forgiveness. And your grace. There I realized how much I loved you. And I recognized that I am your child. I find pleasure in being with you. But I lost my ways. So he pleaded with God, answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide thy face from me, lest I become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in thee. Teach me the way I should walk, for to thee I lift up my soul. So deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, and take refuge in thee. This is my favorite part of the passage. The attitude that he has, that King David has as he approached God, is the attitude that I want when I come to God. Full of humility, full of God reliance, total dependence on God. This is the prayer that I want to have when I come to the end of my ropes, when I'm in a desperate situation. I will cling on to God in my darkest hour. And I really believe this is the prayer, the desperation that a lot of people has on flight Malaysia. Or even that Korean ferry that drowned 232 people. Most of them are teenagers. Two weeks ago, I was watching this movie called Heaven is for Real. I love that movie. And my daughter, she's 11. She loved that movie. She wanted to go, Dad, we got to go see that movie. We're going to see that movie. We're going to go see it as a family. That's what we're going to do. And we loved it. And I can't help but to look at, of course, I don't want to give the movie away. I'm just that little part, okay? That the father, as he watched his son be operated on in a very critical situation, about to die, in desperation, he went to the hospital chapel and prayed on his own. He's a pastor. In there, he prayed earnestly and desperately. You already taking one of my child away. Please do not take my son away. He prayed. In those desperate moments, God listens. In those desperate moments of King David, God listens. Last point, seeking to do God's will. Number 10, teach me to do thy will, for thy art my God. Let thy good spirit lead me to level ground for the sake of thy name. O Lord, revive me in the righteous, bring me my soul out of trouble, in the loving kindness, cut off my enemies, and destroy all those who afflicted my soul, for I am your servant. So at the end, when we're at the end of the ropes, we ask for forgiveness. We beg God. We come to God. So what do we do as people of God? How do we get out of our surviving mode or desperate mode? What do we do? What's the question do we ask at the end of the prayer? I think it's the key here. The key here is, Lord, what is your will for me? What is it that you want me to do? What should I do? I don't want, because I've been setting my own course. It didn't go me anywhere. As a matter of fact, it went even further down to the bottom of the pit. So what I do, Lord? What is your will for me? I can't run my own marriages or my finances. What is it that you want me to do? How should I do this? King David did this. He didn't come to God, hey, I'm the king, Lord. I am your king. I am the king. King of the earth, richest man. So you need to help me, God. No. You know what he said? He goes, what is your will for me? What is your will for me? What is it that you want me to do? He didn't go up to him, I am the king. That's kingship is what he does. But who he is, he recognized it at the very last statement. Who he was? Who I am? As Christian? What did he say? I am your servant. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your great forgiveness and your grace. Lord, some of us are in the dumps, in the bottom of the pit. Some of us may have gone over. And we just ask, Lord, that for your help. And a lot of us, we have forgotten you and lost our ways. My head's a bow. I want to pray for you. I want you to respond to God in your own personal way. I know time is short. It's getting late. But I just want to give you opportunity to respond to God. If there's something that you are struggling, that It had come to end of your ropes. You just can't, whatever doesn't seems to, whatever you do, it doesn't seems to make things right or better, or whether it's your, in your marriage, whether it's in your school, whether it is in your work, or wherever it may be, or in spiritual life, friendships. If this is you, and you heard the cries of David, and you want to apply it to your life, that instead of going on surviving mode, you want to be in the revival mode. That is the God's will. This is where God wants us to be, is in revival mode. One can like live in a life course of my life in revival mode, where I can live freely, shamelessly, guiltlessly, in love, rather in frustration. If this is you, if you want to come before God and make this your prayer, why don't you stand where you are? Stand where you are. That act of commitment, that act of, Lord, I want to make it to my prayer as well. You stand where you are. Just stand right now. Just stand where you are. If you want to make this your prayer, just stand where you are. We're not perfect people, but we are people under grace. We're people under God's protection, God's love. I'm going to ask one more time, then I'm going to continue our prayer. Anybody else want to stand and make that your commitment?